show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fly ball to deep left center field. Devers has hit it out. The rookie takes Chapman the other way to tie the game.
Wow. Well, at 20 years of age, we told you what a special hitter Rafael Devers is and is going to be. And after a couple of low 100 fastballs, I'm sure not having seen that from the left side ever before, he shows you that awesome power the other way and takes it out to the deepest part of Yankee Stadium.
I mean, we just saw an absolute rarity. A pitch coming in at 100-plus and going out at 100-plus. What a moment for that young man who's only got a couple of weeks in the big leagues.
How do you like that one, Murray? That one put a little Bambino in your trousers or what? What did that one do for you, Jim Murray, huh?
It shut that crowd right the hell up. It was nice.
Dominican Doughboy, Rafael Devers with a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. Red Sox escape with a victory over the Yankees. They win 2 out of 3 in New York over the weekend. 2 out of 3. And you should be happy about it. So why am I operating with some level of trepidation, Murray? Why still with some level of trepidation? So really, to me, there were two separate things to get to tonight. Okay, two separate things. One concerns the overall big picture of the Red Sox, which appears brighter than ever. And then the other concerns the problems and issues and flaws within the team that are still there. The problems are still there. So the goal is to get to all of that over the course of the next hour. And I understand the Red Sox, obviously, you're playing a game tonight, a makeup game tonight. So we're going to spend the large majority of our time sifting through the Yankees and really looking at John Farrell, too. Because, boy, was he front and center last night on national television. One of the more embarrassing moments that you will ever see for a big league manager. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We can open up the phones right away. Billy Lanny is filling in for Jimmy Stewart tonight. Josh Deering's back there with him as well. And as always, Jim Murray is alongside. One more time, 617-779-0985. So as it pertains to the big picture, Red Sox go into New York. They lose the opener in borderline backbreaking fashion on Friday night. Boy, what a way to go down. Red Sox are up 3-0 going into the eighth inning. They give up 5 to the Yankees. They then rally in the ninth against Aroldis Chapman. And then ultimately fall 5-4 in what included a bad base running mistake by Eduardo Nunez, all of it. And they lose the game 5-4. And at that point, it was hard to feel good about them because it felt like, okay, here we go. Same old Red Sox. They haven't beaten the Yankees in a series all year. They go into New York. They have a 3-0 lead. The bullpen blows it. They make a base running mistake. Where have you heard that one before? And then they ultimately lose 5-4. So there you go. Then the next day, they go out against Luis Severino in the first inning, and they fall behind the Yankees 2-0. Gary Sanchez is a home run down the right field line. And at that moment, I don't know about you, but I was sort of thinking, this is not going to be their weekend. They blow a game on Friday night in which Aaron Hicks hits one right down the line. Gary Sanchez comes out on Saturday and hits another one right down the line, and I thought for sure the Red Sox were doomed. Doomed. And as it turned out, they rallied. They came back and won on Saturday. They rallied again last night with that absolutely huge home run by Rafael Devers. They take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, and they are now 5.5 up with basically 45 to go in the American League East in the 2017 regular season. You should feel good about them. You should feel good about them. And as just as an aside, I don't know if you saw this today. Last night's game between the Red Sox and the Yankees, highest overnight rating of an ESPN game that was not a season opener in, I think, 4 years, 3 or 4 years, okay? Any ESPN game. And here in Boston, the game did a big number. The game did almost a 10. So it was a long game because of the extra innings. It went later. But something about the Yankees and the Red Sox did The last two series with the Yankees have been terrific, Mark.
Yeah, that last night. You're right. These two series have been really good, entertaining. And last night, you know, that wasn't the usual Sunday night slog that typically is Red Sox-Yankees these last few years. That was a great game last night.
And so, look, Chris Sale was on the mound, so the pace was good. The game was moving fast. I think at one point I looked up, it was in the eighth inning, it was 10:30.
Yeah.
With an 8 o'clock start, and I went, well, that's pretty good. So the Red Sox come out, they win it, all of that should make you feel good. And yet, I look at the whole John Farrell situation, the way he handled Addison Reed, the fact that he came out and tried to make a pitching change when the rules prohibited it, and you look at all of it, and I'll set the scene for you here in just a second. But wow, what an embarrassing moment, and wow, if you're looking for reasons to not believe in the Red Sox, if any of those of you, those kind of people out there exist, if any of you were looking for an excuse to be skeptical, Friday night, Eduardo Nunez runs into an out in the ninth inning, representing the tying run, trying to tag up from second to third on a ball hit to left field that gets thrown out at third base. Ugh. Talk about a kick in the nuts. And then yesterday, or last night, how about that whole thing in the ninth inning? Addison Reed's on the mound to start the inning, walks the leadoff man. The Yankees announced Jacoby Ellsbury as a pinch hitter. So Carl Willis, the pitching coach, goes to the mound. Willis then comes back to the dugout. The first pitch to Ellsbury from Addison Reed is a slider down and in. So John Farrell, the manager, who has already decided to let Reed face Ellsbury, then decides to come out of the dugout and make a pitching change, until the home plate umpire tells him, no, you just had one. Only one pitching change per pitcher. Or rather, only one mound visit per pitcher. Per at-bat. Because Ellsbury's still at the plate, Farrell can't make a pitching change. Boy, did I really mess that one up, Murray. Did I do even half-decent job of explaining that? Addison Reed, after Carl Willis went to the mound, by rule, Addison Reed had to face Jacoby Ellsbury. Farrell went out after ball one thinking that he could take Addison Reed out of the game.
I think he broke it down all right.
What a mistake. So Farrell had to turn around and go back to the dugout. So now, Reed ends up getting Ellsbury out of the game. But think of the message that Farrell has already delivered to Addison Reed. First of all, he told him after one pitch, I don't want you facing this guy, even though I just had the pitching coach out there. And then, after Reed gets Ellsbury out anyway, he pulls him from the game, to which point Reed spins on the mound, walks to the back of the mound, you know, screams an F-bomb, and then is pulled from the game, and Robbie Scott comes in, I think it was, right? Oh, no, that was Kimbrel at that stage. Scott was before. Kimbrel comes in, gets out of the inning. The Red Sox go on to win the game. Now, to me, all kinds of inconsistencies from John Farrell. But I want to, and I'll explain why in a minute, but I want to start here with the Addison Reed stuff, okay? Because they did get Addison Reed, or so I thought, so we all thought, to pitch the eighth inning. Last night, Farrell gave the eighth inning to Barnes. Why? I don't know. I'm not a believer in Matt Barnes. Clearly, John Farrell is. But to me, that was a spot that screamed for Addison Reed. Then, after ball one to Ellsbury, Farrell, who's clearly traumatized by what happened on Friday night, with Reed giving up a home run to Aaron Hicks in the eighth inning, decides immediately, I'm taking Reed out. So the guy you just acquired to be your setup man, the guy you just acquired to pitch in the eighth inning, the manager is already balking over and trying to lift him in the middle of an inning. It blows my mind. Now, Farrell was asked about the whole thing with Reed and what was it about the one pitch. Like, why the one pitch to Ellsbury, and then all of a sudden you change your mind? Here's what Farrell said before tonight's game.
I was looking to get Craig in the game, and unfortunately, the rule is what it is. I'm well aware of the rule, and as I addressed it at the game after the game last night, but felt like didn't want to leave that series without having Craig Kimbrel on the mound. And you know what? He gets Ellsbury out, and we see what took place after that.
Okay, so he didn't want to leave the series without getting Craig Kimbrel on the mound. Again, Kimbrel hadn't pitched in 5 days when he went into the game last night. They finally brought him in. So that part I understand, except that why did Reed then get to start the at-bat? If he wanted Kimbrel in the game, why did Reed get to start the at-bat with Ellsbury? And what was it about the one pitch that made Farrell say, uh-oh, no, I want Kimbrel? He just The whole thing suggested John Farrell was not in command of the game. He wasn't in full command of the situation because I believe that he knew the rule, Murray. I do. I believe that. And to our listeners, I believe that John Farrell knew the rule.
Yeah, he was just freaked out. It was out. It was down in the dirt, and it goes back to another issue that I had with this team over this weekend that shows some of the cracks in the armor, and that's the eighth inning on Friday night when Reed was out there. And they have a 3-0 lead, and he's part of that implosion. And, you know, he gets a batter, you know, hits a guy on the toe, and then gives up a cheap Yankee Stadium home run. And you'd think he would maybe even buckle down after that. I understand it's a tough spot, but he doesn't. He gives up a hit and then a walk. So he doesn't trust Reed right now, and I kind of don't blame him.
I mean, look, we throw around that phrase a lot when you're talking about a coach or a manager or whatever. We say command of the game, right? He doesn't have command of the game. And what we're really saying is, control of the situation and understanding of the situation. Farrell looked at it and he didn't understand all the wheels spinning, and all of a sudden he said, I had Addison Reed on the mound on Friday night and he threw a slider down and into Aaron Hicks, who hit a 2-run homer. Now I have Addison Reed on the mound and he went down and into Ellsbury again. Maybe they wanted him to go fastball away, not bring in the short porch in right field, all those things. Maybe that was a factor. And he said, no, I'm not going to make the same mistake again, and I went out there. So I'm going to go out there and get him out of the game. But shouldn't he have known that beforehand? Once the lefty came up, and he knows what kind of pitcher Addison Reed is, he should have known that. And he didn't. And then on top of it all, I now feel like they have a damaged commodity in Addison Reed, who clearly feels like his manager doesn't have the confidence to send him out there, because he came out to get him after one pitch and the umpire wouldn't allow it. And then he got the guy out anyway, and he still went out to get him. This is a guy who's accustomed to finishing his innings. Addison Reed is one of these guys who, in his career, has been a legitimate setup man. He likes to finish his own innings. And I thought that's what the Red Sox were getting. That's why I felt good about the move. If Addison Reed is now going to get the Brad Ziegler treatment and get the same treatment Ziegler got last year and only pitch situationally, A, that puts more pressure on Farrell, which I don't like, and B, it's not the best use of the asset, at least based on what his abilities have been over the course of his career. A million questions. And on top of it, John Farrell saying he wanted to get Craig Kimbrell into the series? Boy, he was saying the exact opposite on Friday night, pretty much, and I'll explain that when we come back. We'll play some audio for you from Friday's postgame that completely contradicts what Farrell did last night in New York. Friday night, he's saying Addison Reed was there for a reason. Sunday night, he's saying he didn't want Addison Reed on the mound. He wanted Craig Kimbrell in the game. And as always, we'll get to your phone calls. I babbled too much already. Just too much to get to with this Red Sox series over the weekend. It was a great series. CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank. Tiki Barber explains why the sport of golf has drastically changed with some of its new and young stars.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Help Highlands donate to the Good Plus Foundation. When you buy Highlands for Kids cold and cough medicine, one purchase for one donation, up to 100,000 bottles. Claims based on traditional homeopathic practice, not accepted medical evidence, not FDA evaluated.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2, Gardner not running, swinging a high fly ball down the right field line. Sailing into the corner, Mookie Betts way back there, and that ball is gone. How about that? Now, he couldn't afford to throw him a slider in the dirt, and he didn't. He threw a strike.
So that was Friday night. Again, a lot to catch up on from the weekend. Up 3-0 in the eighth inning. Aaron Hicks facing Addison Reed lofts a 2-run homer into that right field corner at Yankee Stadium. I think they say it's like 315 feet down that line. Something like that. Bull crap. And even if it is actually 315, I'm telling you, it plays about 20 feet shorter. The way the ball jumps out of that place, particularly down the line, it's tiny there. It is. The right field is tiny. And to me, that was an important play the way the weekend played out, because it clearly affected John Farrell's confidence in Addison Reed. That Yankees comeback on Friday night really helped shape the way Farrell approached the game last night. And I want to get to some of the particulars with Farrell and Reed, but I don't want to leave a lot of you hanging here either. So let's go to the phones. Again, 617-779-0985. We do have a couple open lines, but Spencer's in Marshfield. Go ahead, Spencer.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So, I'm an optimist. We just won 2 out of 3 against the Yanks. So I got a statement and a question. I'm 20 years old. The fact that Rafael Devers is showing not only opposite field power, but also the ability to perform on a big stage, and he's my age. I really love this guy. So that's my statement. My question, Chris Sale, another awesome outing. He had 12 strikeouts. He's up to, I think, 241 on the season. He's a Cy Young. He's in the MVP conversation. Do you guys think he's good enough to carry this rotation through the postseason, or do you think we need Rick Porcello or, God forbid, a David Price to step up?
Well, Spencer, he's going to need help somewhere along the line. Okay, I'll let you go. He's going to need help somewhere along the line. He's not going to do it by himself. But is he good enough? If he's pitching like he's pitching now? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, he's good enough. So this gets lost a little last night because of the way the game shook out in the late innings. A sale was nails. Oh, was he dynamite. And I thought he got, there were nights where you look at him and you say, boy, the radar gun readings are what they are, but the ball's not coming out quite like that. Or some nights you look at the radar gun readings and say the opposite. Wow, that was 94. It looked like 98. Last night to me, looked like he was throwing 105, the way that ball shot out of his hand. It was uncanny. I mean, he's like a slingshot, right? It's certain nights it just looks more lively than others. Last night, there were some fastballs. I thought, these guys have no shot.
Now, these last two starts, he's been absolutely filthy.
Holy crap. No shot. I mean, on some of those balls. And until who hit the double into the left field corner? I don't remember. The first hit of the game for the Yankees. I remember thinking, up to that stage, they might not get a hit on this guy tonight. I thought he looked that filthy. So he was that good. He's going to need help somewhere along the line. But if he's pitching like this, oh, he's maybe the most terrifying pitcher in October. Again, not knowing his history, of which there is none. Phil's in Somerville. Phil, go.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I am pretty pessimistic about this team. I think they have a major problem with scoring runs. I just wanted your guys' take on if you guys feel like it's an issue, especially with Sale on the mound scoring runs, and if it will be an issue moving forward in the playoffs. Thank you.
Yeah, so Phil, I'm not completely convinced that their offensive issues are now behind them and gone forever. We'll have to see how that one shakes out over the next 6 weeks, and that's basically what you have now left in the season is 6 weeks, maybe seven. But, in terms of what we saw over the weekend, not complicated, right? Benintendi and then Devers with the huge hit last night. And to me, there was a link to be drawn between those two, which I want to get to a little bit later in the show. But we began this segment playing that home run from Friday night, Aaron Hicks against Addison Reed. And so after the game on Friday, and again, to me, the stage was set, or the table was set, however you want to categorize it, all of that on Friday night for what happened last night. Addison Reed comes in to pitch the eighth inning Friday night in New York. He failed. Now, my personal opinion, the home run that Hicks hit down the line, cheapo. Classic Yankee Stadium cheap home run. Okay, just classic. And then the other two hits in the inning, bloops into the outfield. One by Frazier, one by Gregorius. Cheap hits. So Reed ends up getting nobody out. He wasn't good. He had a tough night. But I don't think he pitched completely like garbage. Like, there are sometimes you look at a guy, I almost have more issue with how Matt Barnes pitched last night when he couldn't throw a strike than I did with Addison Reed on Friday night. Like, I look at Reed as being a little bit on Friday night, a little bit, a victim of circumstance. So Farrell was asked after the game on Friday night whether he considered bringing in Kimbrel early to pitch the eighth and then use him again for the ninth. Here's what he said.
Yeah, no, not looking to go to Craig in that spot. That's the reason why Addison's here, so we can avoid those one plus innings for Craig. We've seen and experienced what it does to him over the course of a full season. So we feel very good about the strength of our bullpen and the ability to go to multiple guys in that spot.
That's why Addison's here. He actually said that. Those are his exact words. That's why Addison's here. So we don't have to use Kimbrel in the eighth. Addison's our eighth inning guy. And then yet two nights later, in what was effectively the same situation, first of all, he skipped Reed entirely and put Barnes in the eighth. Okay, which should tell you plenty. Because, I'm sorry, Matt Barnes on the road, I have no interest in. In fact, let me rephrase. Matt Barnes in any sort of pressure situation, I want nothing to do with. I don't think he can throw strikes. Do you know that Matt Barnes is here at home, 2.5 walks per nine. On the road, it's almost six. How do you explain that other than the pressure? The eighth and ninth innings in New York, especially when the Yankees are any good, might be the two toughest innings in baseball. The eighth and the ninth at Yankee Stadium. Matt Barnes crapped his pants on the mound at Yankee Stadium last night, if you ask me. But Farrell skipped him, skipped Reed to go to Barnes. Then the game goes extras. So now Reed gets the ninth. He gets a man on, then gets an out. And remember, by this point, Farrell has already gone out to the mound to take him out, but the umpires wouldn't allow it because it was against the rules. So then after he gets the out, Farrell goes out and gets him and brings Kimbrel in to get more than an inning. Billy, it's Hayward. Can we play that cut again? I want to play it again. So Farrell says last night he used Kimbrel for more than an inning. Used him for an inning and a third and get Addison Reed out of the game. Friday night, essentially, he had the exact same situation. Here's what he said.
Yeah, no, not looking to go to Craig in that spot. That's the reason why Addison's here, so we can avoid those one-plus innings for Craig. We've seen and experienced what it does to him over the course of a full season, so we feel very good about the strength of our bullpen and the ability to go to multiple guys in that spot.
So that's why Addison's here on Friday night. But Sunday night comes, and that's not the reason Addison's here anymore. Now I want to get Craig Kimbrel into the series. And look, I get it. Things change day to day. I get it. But it feels to me like Farrell's creating a problem now with Addison Reed. Reed was pissed when he got taken out of that game last night. I can't say I blame him. But the bigger question to me is, how does this affect him going forward? Now, prior to tonight's game against Cleveland, Farrell said that he spoke with Reed. They had a professional conversation. They're trying to get the guy comfortable here. Blah, 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 blah. All I know is that they brought this guy in to be the eighth inning guy, the premier setup guy, and now here we are just a couple of weeks in, and it already feels like Farrell doesn't trust him, and more importantly, the pitcher probably feels like the manager doesn't trust him. I mean, how do you expect that guy to get big outs in October? There's damage done last night, even though they won the game. Scott's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Scott, quickly.
Hey, Maz, how you doing?
Good.
Sale did pitch great, and I know you're going crazy about how it looked like 104 coming out of his hands, but he was down 2-1 in the ninth inning. I mean, what's going to happen in the playoffs when he throws one of them and they lose?
Okay, so Scott, he wasn't down 2-1. The team was down 2-1, right? He left, by the time he left, the game was tied, and the one run the Yankees scored was the misplay by Mookie Betts in right field. However, I will say now that Sale has pitched lights out three times against the Yankees this year, and he has zero wins to show for it. And last night, after the starters left the game, in theory, edge New York. New York's supposed to have the better, deeper bullpen than you. And the Red Sox won the game, which is another reason why I think that was a huge, huge thing for them. They're going to see New York seven more times here in the next 2 weeks. So now they know, you know what? We get into the late innings, we can beat them. We can beat that bullpen. Our bullpen can match theirs. We can get to Chapman. Like, I think there is a psychological benefit there. That was an important win last night for the Red Sox. So I don't want to diminish that whatsoever. Very important win. And overall, the weekend to take 2 out of 3 after the way it started? Absolutely. The division is theirs now. It's in their hands. They should absolutely win this division. No excuses. They should win the division. And I'll tell you what, depending on how a couple of guys do in that lineup, they could make a serious run at the thing, too. I'll tell you who those guys are and why when we come back. Murray's got your headlines first.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a Locate and Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
What do you know? You're at the office late again. Because when the company's all yours, so's the worry. This is when the real job's just beginning. Like having to answer all of your employees' health insurance questions? Yeah, forgot you had to do that, didn't you? Not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your team can talk to. Ah, the cleaning crew is here. Shall we call it a day?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So listen, I know what John Farrell is saying about, you know, we're an aggressive team, we're going to make mistakes, but this is the way we play, which I think is a cop-out. The logic being that one is a byproduct of the other. It's collateral damage. You have to have all those mistakes when you play the way the Red Sox do. And honestly, that is garbage. It's complete bullcrap. You can run the bases aggressively and not be as stupid as the Red Sox are on the bases. I dismiss that as being sort of, well, it comes with the deal. That's the deal. It's not the deal. Tagging up from second base as the tying run to get to third when you got a guy out there with a good arm and the first run scoring on the play, you're going to commit the second out at third base doing that as Eduardo Nunez did on Friday night? Or as a caller pointed out earlier in the day today, Benintendi being on second base, ground ball to shortstop, he tries to go to third. That's aggressive? Or is that just downright plain stupid? That is stupid. That's not aggressive. That's stupid. There's a difference. And the Red Sox need to clean some of that stuff up. Now, look, they got 2 wins in 3 games in New York. They did. So give them credit for it. 2 wins in 3 games. They had a good series overall in terms of the end result. But there are still some things you look at and say the bullpen in high-leverage situations, the base running, the manager, where they get in their own way a little bit, and you ultimately wonder whether that is going to be their downfall. Let's take a couple more calls here. Ron's in Texas. Go, Ron.
Hey, Maz. How's it going tonight?
Good.
I just got a couple points. I kind of disagree with you with the Addison Reed situation, but I agree that the way it was handled after one pitch, I kind of felt like he was putting Addison Reed on blast, not with a mistrust issue. But ninth inning, winning run on third base against the Yankees. Four and a half game lead. I could pretty much put myself in the cruise control seat for the division. Kimbrel, I'm riding or dying with Kimbrel at that point. I have to do that with Kimbrel. So I don't mind Kimbrel coming in at that point. I just think the handling of getting Addison Reed out of there was bad.
Ron, the optics were horrible. Keep going.
So I also disagree with Nunez tagging up. I don't think you're looking at the play. A deep hit ball to left field. Aaron Hicks made a great throw. Frazier made a great pick, and it was a bang, bang play. Nunez gets safe on that play. We're talking about a great baseball play on Nunez's part to read the fly ball, to read the play at hand. You put the tying run on third base. You put all the pressure on New York right then and there. I think that we're discarding the fact of a great play that was made to get Nunez out. That's all I got. Have a night.
Okay, so Ron, look, I'm not telling you that Hicks didn't make a play there, and Frazier, to me, was the underrated part of the play completely. Frazier made a hell of a pick on that play. But I'm telling you that the play wasn't as close as you think it was. I mean, Nunez tried to get his hand around there. The ball beat him by a lot. I mean, he was still a few feet away from the bag when Frazier made the pick. And the throw wasn't as great as everyone says it is. The throw was strong, but the throw was 6 feet off the bag towards the second base side. Frazier made a good pick, so think of it that way. It did not take a great throw. It took a strong throw, but it took a good pick. Again, you go in knowing that Hicks has a good arm. So what, you're surprised that the ball got there? No. I'm sorry, I reject that one. No. That was a mistake. That was a really stupid-ass mistake. Let's go to Dan, who's in New Hampshire.
Hey, Maz. You remember last year when they brought Ziegler in? They kind of jerked him around like they're doing with Addison Reed.
Yep, I remember it well.
You think this is John Farrell just thinking, you know, you got to earn your keep. He doesn't want to piss off any of the guys that have been here all year?
So, Dan, I don't know. I hope not. I mean, to me, that sort of defeats the purpose of making the deal. You know, they acquired the guy and said he's our eighth inning guy. Which, again, we call him the eighth inning guy. It doesn't mean you're 100% locked into the eighth. Last night, he obviously pitched the ninth. But the point being is, he's your second-best reliever. That's how they look at him. He's my second-best guy.
Yeah, but that's what Dave Dombrowski says, Maz, and I'm trying to keep an eye on this game, too, before Doug Fister pukes all over himself. You know, that's what Dave Dombrowski said about him. It's another one of these guys he brings in, much like Ziegler last year, that's thrown on John Farrell. I wonder how much of this maybe has to do with he's just not comfortable with guys that aren't his. You know?
So that could be Murray. But again, I'd like
to... Which is the wrong way to manage.
Of course it is. So, you know, so what if you got, you know, and I use this as an extreme case. You get Mariano Rivera, he's not one of your guys, you're not going to use him? I mean, it's crazy. You acquired a guy to do a certain job, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I understand what you're saying. I just think that Farrell's got this one wrong.
Yeah. Oh, no, he also referred to him as he could be potentially closer B. Remember after they required
him? Exactly.
And he doesn't really know what the hell to do with the guy, even though Dave Dombrowski's like, no, this will be our eighth inning bridge guy.
So I look at that with Farrell and say, Farrell doesn't know how to manage him. He doesn't know how to handle him. And I feel like, again, I didn't want Barnes in the game in the eighth last night. I don't know why I went to Barnes there. Why was Barnes in instead of Reed? You can't tell me Matt Barnes is a better big league pitcher than Addison Reed. He might have better stuff, but when it comes time to throw a strike in the eighth inning in New York, forget it. Matt Barnes is going to crap his pants out there. Forget it. So I just, to me, that inning belongs to Reed. And the Friday night meltdown, the balls weren't hit that hard. He caught some bad breaks in there. He caught some bad breaks. Even if Farrell doesn't say that publicly, he should know it. And he
shouldn't. He didn't buckle down after those bad breaks. That's my issue. That's where I think that this kid, you know, might not have the intestinal fortitude for that moment.
So, Murray, I'm not here to tell you that Addison Reed is 100% the answer. I don't know that. None of us do. But what I do know is that he deserves a better shot than what he's gotten so far. That's all. He's been here 2 weeks. And this weekend was really the first one, and I'm telling you, it struck me over the weekend because it started on Friday night. I forgot. When the Yankees are any good, the eighth and ninth innings in that ballpark, impossible. I mean, they're borderline impossible. You know, impossible is a strong word. They are the toughest six outs in baseball. The eighth and the ninth, those six outs, the toughest outs in baseball when the Yankees have a team that is half decent. Dave is on the Cape, wants to talk about Rafael Devers, which brings me to that Red Sox lineup. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, very good. I want to get in on Devers. The way he's hitting now, and pitchers have adjusted recently. They've been throwing him a lot of soft to breaking stuff. I mean, he's hitting the ball left field, right field. You were saying that we needed another hitter that could do that. You think he's going to do it, or is he going to tail off eventually?
Well, look, the thing to me that's most important about Devers is the power. Okay, it's the power. They have a shortage of power, particularly from the left side. And so they need Devers to provide that. It's asking a lot of a 20-year-old kid. But hell, last night, ninth inning, bases empty, down a run, the guy on the mound is throwing 103 miles an hour. And let's say it's inflated because that gun in New York is fast. It was 101. I mean, it's only a couple of miles fast if it is fast. It was 101 miles an hour. And he hit it out to one of the deepest parts of a ballpark in the big leagues. I mean, that is not easy to do, particularly for a left-handed hitter. To hit that part of the ballpark in New York, this kid's got big-time power. Legitimate big-time power, which we knew after seeing the home run that he hit in Seattle, which was his first big league home run. So, to me, of the five home runs the Red Sox hit over the weekend, four of them were by lefties. And I hate to say I told you so. Okay, I hate to say I told you so, but I asked Billy Lanny to help me pull this from the weekend, okay? Or actually from Friday. This was the Baseball Reporters on Friday going into the series. Billy, go ahead and play it. So you sort of look at Severino and you say, okay, well, there's the only righty going. Who are the left-handed bats in the Red Sox lineup, and are they going to be able to produce? I mean, it's a natural thing to look at, especially in that ballpark. Now, the variable here, Rafael Devers. Devers wasn't here early in the year. He's now part of that Red Sox lineup. If you're going to beat a right-hander in New York, you better get production out of your left-handed bats. Okay, now, I didn't think there was any prayer him homering against Chapman in that situation. I didn't. Do you realize that Aroldis Chapman, in his career, prior to last night, had allowed one home run to a left-handed batter? In his career! Career! Not year, not season, not as a Yankee, not as anything like that. In his career, one home run to a left-handed batter. One! And Devers takes him out to the deepest part of Yankee Stadium? In a 2-1 game with one out and the bases empty in the ninth? I did the math, Murray. You know what the percentage of times a left-handed batter had homered against Aroldis Chapman in the big leagues prior to that at-bat was?
I mean, 2%, 1%?
0.2%.
0.2%. See, my math is terrible.
0.2%. That means that it was 99.8% likely that Rafael Devers was not going to homer last night. Wouldn't you have, like, bet your house on that?
Yeah. No, it did kind of... It might be a bad comp, because I always felt like Nixon kind of owned Clemens, but it did remind me. Go back to 2000. Remember that scoreless tie?
Sure, the 2-0 game.
Yeah, Trout Nixon hit that bomb off Clemens. That was that home run last night kind of reminded me of that. Like, it shut... I just remember one of those... That bomb shut that place up, and it did the same thing happening last night with Devers off Chapman.
And he just homered again, by the way. Devers is hitting into the left field seats. So it's now 3-1 over at Fenway Park. But the, it was the, you know what happened in the next half inning of that Yankee game? Do you remember? That was Pedro Clemens.
Yeah. Oh, God, I don't remember.
The Yankees loaded the bases. And Pedro got the final out on a ground ball to first. I want to say it was like Posada. Or someone grounded to first to end it. But the Yankees loaded the bases in the bottom of the ninth. Pedro finished the game. But further evidence that the final six outs in New York,
even for Pedro
at the peak of his career, were an absolute tractor pull. It was like pulling teeth, for crying out loud, to get those outs. So I understand what a lot of these relievers are going through. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not telling you it's easy for Addison Reed or even Craig Kimbrell or, for that matter, Matt Barnes. But some guys are more capable of handling it than others, okay? And to me, I have zero confidence in Barnes being able to execute in those situations. But again, in New York over the weekend, lefties or righties in that ballpark against left-handed or right-handed pitching, you got to use right field. You've got to use it. I don't think it's a coincidence that Benintendi and Devers hit 4 of the 5 home runs of this series. The other one was from Hanley, who hit an absolute moonshot on Friday night off a left-handed pitcher. And Hanley's got the power to get it out at Yankee Stadium in any part of the ballpark. But the Red Sox don't have many of those guys. Their hitters are just not equipped that way. Devers is and Hanley is. The rest of them, I'm not so sure. Benintendi can't hit the home run that Devers hit last night. Benintendi can't hit that. He can't drive the ball 420 feet to left center field against Aroldis Chapman.
I don't necessarily even need him to hit bombs for me. I just need him to drive runners in like he did in extras last night off Canely. Like, that was a shot that he hit the right field, too.
So I will tell you that if those two guys hit, if Benintendi and Devers hit, and they continue to hit overall the way they have for the last, call it, 2 weeks, since Devers came up, and he went a little cold there for a while, but overall it's been good, and since Benintendi has been in the last week or so, if they're anywhere near that, this team can make a run at a world championship. It's going to be those two guys are going to have to swing it, though. Because otherwise you are going to get a lot of pressure on the other hitters in your lineup with right-handed pitchers. And to me, the Bogarts and the Betts can't do what some of these lefties are going to be able to do against right-handed pitching.
Just real quick, this doesn't feel like a fluke with Devers. Like, this feels like they, to me at least, like they have something with this kid.
Legitimate power. The power is real. I don't know if he'll hit 270 or 320. I have no idea. I think he can hit in the big leagues. I think he's a DH waiting to happen, but that might be years down the road. Who the hell knows? But look at his ass. Just watch him. Seriously, I hate to say
no,
it like
I know.
That.
That's where all the power's coming
from. His ass
from
is huge. He's 20 years old, and he is. He's kind of spongy, right?
Yeah.
He's the Dominican doughboy. But you can see where his power comes from. I mean, you look at him, he's this baby-faced kid, and then he turns around, he's got this massive caboose. Huge. That's where the power comes from.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.